Good morning. Are we excited for worship today or what? The choir is in, the bells have rung, and we're a minute early. Welcome to First Christian Church on a beautiful Sunday morning. Please, this morning, let's quiet our cell phones and other noise-making devices, and then let's quiet our hearts and minds as we listen to the prelude music from Bob and Lonnie. Good morning again. A few announcements today. Our pulpit guest is Mary Schmidt from First United Methodist Church. There's some information about her in the bulletin that you can check out. She grew up in Georgia. I joked with Chapel this morning that I did detect a bit of an accent. I thought it was just south like Glen Rock, but it's a little further southern than that. She has an extensive educational background, one of which she shared with me this morning that one of her favorite professors in preaching was actually of the disciple tradition. So she does have a connection to our denomination as well. A few of you can see that I have a helper today up here for a short bit. The nominating committee is asking for help in filling out the roster of those willing to serve. So if you have interest or willingness to serve either on the board or as a diaconate or in eldership, please contact the nominating committee. And if you think you know someone who might have that interest or willingness, go ahead and let the nominating committee know their name too, and they'll be in contact with them. There's some information about a simulcast with Beth Moore that you, if that sounds interest to you, check that out or talk to Lonnie. And then also we're having an Eagle Scout Court of Honor for Eddie Atkinson at the end of the month. And then lastly, there you can see, but October 11th, we're going to have an indoor tailgate party downstairs to celebrate the Oil Bowl. So come have some hot dogs and things, and then you can go watch the high school football game, or just go home and enjoy that you had a good supper at the fellowship hall. Are there any other announcements today? Debbie? No, sorry. Are you coming up here, Debbie? Or are you? Okay. Blanket ministry starts again next Saturday, 10 to 3, right, Debbie? Okay. Now looking for help.
Yes. I want to thank those of you that have signed up in post fellowship time, but we need many more hands. We have fellowship post through September. After that, it's every man for himself. I don't want that to happen. So please check out the schedule downstairs.
Yes, thank you for that. Please sign up for that. We don't always get thank you cards in the mail, but Mackenzie loves her donuts after church. Joan.
On the last Saturday of this month, the 29th, the search committee is providing breakfast between 9 and 10. Sorry about that, Tricia. It's going to be a full breakfast. We invite everybody to come to what we call the P&G session. So between 9 o'clock.
Any hints on what P&G stands for?
You have to come to find out.
It
always is also the kickoff Sunday for Sunday school.
Perfect.
Okay.
Always leave them wanting more. Any other announcements? Well, then let's stand and greet those around us, and then we'll come back together and sing our opening hymn, number 618, How Firm a Foundation. Good job. So you're going to go to class today with...
I got to tell the elders this. A couple of us are going to stand and do the hymns for everybody, including the ones who are going to sit, just so that there's more of a presence of
stay up here. We're going to sing now.
Thank you.
If you please join me in the call to worship. Lord of wisdom, we seek your guidance on our path. Come, Lord of power, help us put our trust in you.
Lift us up by uncertainty. Grant us the power to wait safely.
Come, our everlasting Lord of grace.
We pray to you, Lord, to lift us up and guide us in your future.
Will you please pray with me? God of abundant grace, may your Holy Spirit be with us now as we worship you this day. Open our eyes to truly see one another, that we might discover your presence in the smile of a neighbor. Open our ears to the needs of the world, that we might hear your wisdom in the words spoken around us. And open our hearts to your grace and love, that we might find guidance and strength for the journey, for ourselves and for one another. Hear us today, Lord, as we pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our hymn of prayer this morning is Be Still My Soul, number 566 in the hymnal, all verses, and Amber is going to lead us in that. Thank you. It's time for our children's time in worship. And so our children come forward. We got one up here and one right here.
The drill. Who are the children of God? Come on. Come on, we got a couple and more. Come on. Come on, kids, come on. Are you not a child of God? Come on. All right. What's on my back? Everybody, tell people what it says. Oh, is it not straight? Say it really loud.
With God, all things are possible.
And there is a good reason I'm wearing this. I have no idea what the children's message is going to be. Now, do you remember why?
Yeah.
There is a basket up here. Macy has it, and I have not a clue what she's got in it. But whatever it is, I have to talk on it. So, repeat, with God, all right. Okay, can I sit down right in here? I may not get up, but okay. Oh, is it something to eat?
No.
No? Is it something I can play with? Yes? Oh, it's a toy? Are you going to take off the blanket or am I? She is. Okay, let's see what it is. One, two, take it off. Oh, wow. It's a little chicken and egg. What am I going to do with that? All right. A little chicken and egg, and it's got a beautiful egg. What?
Dawn and rebirth.
Look at those eyes. Everybody, look at those eyes. Do you think they could be the eyes of God? Beautiful eyes, aren't they? Do you see them? And of course, you've seen them. You see them back there? Yeah? The eyes of God are watching us right now. Yeah?
Yeah?
The eyes of God. Do you think they're blue?
Yeah?
Do you think they're green?
No.
No? Oh. Do you think they're brown?
No.
Yeah? Do you think they're the colors of the rainbow? Have you ever seen eyes the color of the rainbow? No?
I have.
You have? Oh, wow, that is so awesome. That is. Well, let's say these are the eyes of God. They represent the eyes of God watching down on us right now with everything we do, and they even know everything we think. Is that kind of scary?
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder why you said that. But yes, sometimes it's to know that God is ahead of me, behind me, around me, over me, and knows everything I am thinking and doing, sometimes even before I do it or think it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's say a little prayer. Will you help me with the prayer, Macy?
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody, repeat after me. Dear Lord God,
dear Lord God,
watch over us with your magnificent loving eyes.
Watch over us with your magnificent loving eyes.
Keep us steady and strong on your path.
Keep us steady and strong on your path.
That our own thoughts and words do awesome things in your name.
Do awesome things in your name.
And bring glory to you.
And bring glory to you.
We ask this in Jesus' name.
We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you for this awesome chick with beautiful eyes. Now, who gets the basket for next week? I think Caleb should have it, don't you? Huh?
Yeah.
Should we give it to Caleb? Now, Caleb, you understand that you don't tell anybody what's in here.
Yeah.
Maybe
okay.
Yeah,
oh, you want your chick back? Of course. Okay. Okay, let's go to class. All right? All right.
Thank you, Joan, and the Children's Education for a fun idea with the basket of surprises. And thanks to Caleb for being a good sport. Looking forward to next week. This morning, our prayer concerns are listed on the back of the bulletin. Our card shower today is for Roger Cook. Roger is back home. He did not have surgery. And so we just continue to pray for healing and renewed strength, and that he does love to hear from his church family. So please, please, if you can, write him just a short note that you're praying for him or thinking of him or something like that, and place that in the offering tray. We have our health concerns listed there as well, and we continue to pray for all those members. Our missionary today that we're praying for is Fiona Kendall in Italy. We continue to pray for God's guidance for the search committee and for God's guidance in calling someone's heart to Casper, Wyoming to lead this church as a senior minister. Our prayer partners today is the Mission Gathering in Thornton, Colorado. Kathy sent me some information on this because it doesn't seem like Mission Gathering, what is it? The Mission Gathering, it is a congregational church. It's actually a small group of congregations spread out throughout the country, a couple in California, from California all the way to Charlotte, North Carolina. And this is a group of churches that is fully committed to the open and affirming message of the disciples of Christ. And so that if you have any interest in looking into that or anything, I suggest you look at their website. It's pretty interesting. Do we have any other joys or concerns today to be lifted up? Debbie?
We saw an 82-year-old man yesterday who was homeless. And it's just heartbreaking that there's somebody who's that old and is homeless and living on the streets. He said that sometimes you just get challenges and that's how it is. But I mean, we tried to offer him 2 lunches, he did not take them. He was very thankful for the lunches he received. But it was just sad that, you know, somebody 82 and is homeless now.
Right. Charles?
Prayers of gratitude from First Christian Portland. Last Sunday was Cindy's birth Sunday, and she proudly wore the stole that she was given here. So we have a connection, and I know that they are praying for this congregation and wherever that may go. So just wanted to look forward to them.
Perfect. Any other prayers? Paul? Kathy Malloy had a slight setback. She's just kind of under the weather over the weekend, and so she wasn't able to come to chapel this morning, and so we just continue to pray for her as she recovers from her serious surgery. Prayer of joy. I got something in the mail this week, but a prayer of joy and gratitude for Lyle Cox. Lyle got a Gas Guzzler Award from Meals on Wheels as one of the top 5 drivers for Meals on Wheels. He's driven the 5th most days last year for the community in Casper delivering meals. So thank you, Lyle, for that work for the community. Well, let's take a moment to take our prayers to God in a moment of silent meditation. Lord, we pray that you hear these prayers on our lips and inside our hearts. Be mindful of us, your people, who are present together here in this place, and of those who are absent through age, frailty, or sickness. Lord, we commend our children to your care, the young to your guidance, the married to your enriching, the aged to your support, the faint-hearted to your strengthening power, the scattered to your shepherd's love, and the wandering to your call to repent and be forgiven. Lord, journey with all travelers, help the bereaved, release the addicted, and heal the sick. Bring assurance to all who are passing through trouble, need, or anxiety. Remember for good all who love us, those who care nothing for us, and those who have asked us to pray for them. There are surely some whom we have forgotten, but Lord, we know you will remember them. Amen. Sorry for the delay in transition. I've got a busy bag down here at my feet that's tripping me up a little bit. I doubt that there's ever been a need or that it's ever actually even been worth writing down, but there are a set of rules concerning church potluck dinners. The rules are: everyone's invited. It might be restricted to a group, but everybody in that group's invited. By its very nature, everyone contributes to a potluck dinner. This even includes those who are maybe less skilled in the kitchen. There's always that one space towards the end of the table for a bag of potato chips or those store-bought Oreos, those. But while we all contribute, we all don't bring the same thing. A potluck dinner consisting of nothing but cream spinach probably be not such a hit. And lastly, it's not a prideful competition, but a humble sharing. At least it's supposed to be. I joked with Chapel this morning that my grandmother, when she was alive, she took Taste of Home magazine. And I don't know how many of you know that magazine. It's one that people share recipes through and everything. And I'm finding that a ton of our family favorite recipes, if I just kind of Google a few of the ingredients and everything, here comes a Taste of Home, and that's where Grandma found it. And always in the recipe on the side, there's a little blurb from the person that shared it. And generally, it's something like this. Joanne from St. Joseph, Missouri. I took this recipe to my church potluck, and there wasn't a bit missing, and everyone asked me for the recipe. I think editorially, Taste of Home stops right there, because I think Joanne also kind of goes on to say, and no one touched Betty's white bean salad. As life has gotten more hectic in our world, families become more and more busy. Potlucks are fewer and far between. But yet I think that the idea of the potluck dinner persists and raises its head often, especially in churches, because that they work. They achieve good results, and some of which are related to food. The basic purpose of the dinner is to feed people. We usually satisfy that. Usually there's food left over. Those who are newcomers to church enjoy some hospitality. It helps them grow closer to the church. They also strengthen the bonds within the church. It does this by sharing. You eat what they brought, and they eat what you brought. It's also a great example of the differing gifts given by the Spirit to the members of the church. Some are gifted at making excellent fried chicken. Others know the best night for the deals on fried chicken at Albertsons. All this is an illustration of another shared meal at church. Communion. Communion is an everybody meal. We all partake without respect to what our spiritual gifts are or what position we hold in the church. It's not a competition, it's a cooperation. And like the potluck, we use this table to welcome newcomers into fellowship. When you take communion with us, you belong with us. The basic purpose of communion is to remember the atoning sacrifice of Christ. This ties us together, but more importantly, it strengthens our ties to Christ. We feed on his body and his blood, a shared meal of a shared faith. In doing so, we grow stronger as Christians. We grow closer together. And in all that, we grow closer to God. Our hymn of communion this morning is number 321, Break Thou the Bread of Life. We'll sing all verses. As you may recall, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread and, having given thanks, said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray.
Most gracious God, on this beautiful Lord's Day morning, we come to give thanks that you are the very source of love in our lives. John reminds us that you loved our world so very much that you sent your only Son, Jesus, into this our world to love us, to teach us to care for one another and for all creation, and ultimately to die for us. As we gather near this table this morning, we are reminded of the sacrifice Jesus made on our behalf, that we might find new life and hope and be reconciled to you. Now, as we prepare to participate in this moment of Holy Communion, we pray that our hearts and our lives may be open to your very presence. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
That's beautiful. a great example of sharing your gifts with the church. A married couple was celebrating a major anniversary, and they were asked for advice on keeping a successful relationship. They offered that each person in the relationship has to give 60% to the relationship. When someone noted that that adds up to more than 100%, they smiled and just said, "God makes up the difference." God always makes up the difference. In our relationship with God, God is constantly giving more to the relationship than we do in return. From forgiveness and grace to unconditional love, God always puts our needs first. The Bible encourages us to give more than we get in our relationships. But with God, we know that we cannot possibly give more to God than God has given to us. But that doesn't mean we don't stop trying. Today and every day, give what you can, when you can, while you can, and where you can. And through all that, you'll be building on your relationship with God. The diaconate will now receive our tithes and offerings. Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for these gifts and ask that they be used to help the needy in our community and throughout the world. As we offer you these gifts, we offer ourselves as well, that together we might transform the world with your grace and love. Amen. You may be seated. Our first reading today in the Word of God is Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 through 31. You can find that in the Pew Bible in the Old Testament on page 668. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Our second reading comes in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. That can be found on page 172 of the New Testament in the Pew Bible. Do you not know that in a race the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air. But I punish my body and enslave it, so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be disqualified. Thus ends the reading for today.
Good morning. I want to thank you for inviting me to join you this morning in my church at First Methodist. Send their greetings. Also, our prayers are with you as you search for a new pastor. Perhaps you heard that we also were out of a senior pastor this past year. So we understand your struggles, and we pray that the Lord will guide you in all your decisions. This morning, our scripture lessons are pointing us to a race. I want to compare the Christian life to a spiritual marathon. Do we have any runners in the congregation? No? How about walkers? A few walkers? We had a few in the early service. Well, every April, people from all around the world will gather in Boston, Massachusetts, for the famous Boston Marathon. Did you know this race was started in 1897, and it is considered the oldest marathon in the world? All other marathons are measured by this one event. It is regarded as one of the most challenging races. The qualifying standards are strict. I can't help but wonder what motivates folks to put in countless hours of training in order to compete, knowing in their hearts they probably will not win. You know, in some ways, I see some similarities between the Boston Marathon and the race as Christians that are called to run. The Bible tells us that before we were born, God knew each of us. We were not an accident. Each of us are called to be like Jesus by our words and deeds. This will be a lifelong task. It's kind of like running a race. Life is not merely the 50-yard dash. Instead, it is a marathon. And as Christians, our goal should be to become more like Christ and to become mature in our faith. I want to encourage you now and share 8 steps to help us participate in this marathon, and you may want to write them down. Number 1, simplify your life. That means clean out and discard all the junk that's holding you back from becoming the person that God has called you to be. Recently, my husband Don decided to clean out our garage. He found things we hadn't used in years, For example, a box of Hawaiian luau decorations and such important papers as a wedding invitation that was over 30 years old. There were definitely things we had to throw out. Let's admit it, we all have clutter in our schedule, in our relationships, and even in our minds. It is important that we get rid of unnecessary baggage that's holding us back. In other words, we don't run a marathon in a heavy parka and gloves, nor with 9 layers of clothes. If you see someone running a race, they will often have on t-shirts and shorts and the lightest tennis shoes they can find. If we want to participate in a spiritual marathon, we too have to eliminate those diversions, distractions, and dead ends. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us." The Christian life involves a lot of hard work. It's not for wimps. It requires giving up whatever is hurting our relationship with God, and to run patiently and to struggle against sin by the power of the Holy Spirit. To run successfully in this race, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. You know, God has a particular race that only we can run. Our parents, our spouse, our best friend, our pastor can't do it for us. We each have to decide if we're going to be obedient to God's call. We're the only ones to decide what we'll throw away that's holding us back. Number 2, don't be impatient or be in a hurry. This is not a single race. Rather, it will take us a lifetime to complete it. God's plan to transform our lives will not be done in 1 year. We have to learn to pace ourselves or we're going to run out of steam. There will be times when we will want to give up, especially when life gets tough. Christian maturity takes time. When God made an oak tree, he may take 60 years. Don't we want to be like that tree? To have faith that's deeply rooted, strong, and stable, so when those cold winds blow, we're still there and not break. Number 3, let me suggest that you spend time with God every day. If we want to be more like Jesus, we've got to get to know him, his character, and his mission. This is done when we participate in a quiet time. That means spending time with God, maybe first thing in the morning, maybe at lunch or before we go to bed. The important thing is to take time daily to read our Bibles and to pray. But not only that, but to take time to listen for God to speak to us. The reason some of us may not recognize God's voice, it may be because our phones, our TV, our computer are competing with God. May we learn to listen for his quiet voice. This was Jesus' habit. We're told that often he would leave his disciples in the ministry behind to go and spend time alone with God. It was there that he would gain strength, encouragement, and wisdom in facing the struggles of life. Number 4, when the race gets hard, remember there is a reward. This race will not always be easy, and we will encounter roadblocks along the way. A marathon training center describes some common roadblocks for the runners. It includes a lack of time, excessive weight, steep hills, and injuries. If the runners are not careful, even a simple thing like a clothes tag in the back of a shirt can throw someone off in their race. The Bible encourages all of us to run a light race by throwing off everything that hinders us, other people, and various hardships. Yet Paul tells us to endure hardship as a discipline. We're never promised a pain-free life. Unfortunately, some people have a faulty view of Christianity. They assume that if they're going to follow Christ, that life will always be a mountaintop experience, right? Wrong. Hebrews 12:10 says, "He disciplines us for our good in order that we share in his holiness." The test for us as Christians is, how are we going to handle our problems? Do we complain and pout? Do we become resentful and bitter toward God, our church, or everyone else? It is important to realize that our problems are also part of God's plan. This race will require self-discipline and self-denial. We are told that Paul trained vigorously with only one goal in mind, and that is to share in God's holiness. You know, there's no bypasses to victory. How long each of us runs this race is up to God. There was a child once that was bragging to his friend, "My brother can run the 100-yard dash in 6 seconds." The friend said, "That's impossible. The record is 9 seconds. The other boy said, "That's okay. My brother knows a shortcut." Consider this promise from 1 Peter. After you suffer for a while, God's going to give you all grace and make everything right. He will make us strong. He will support us and keep us from falling. That sure is good to know, especially when we're in the middle of a problem. Remember, he called us to share in his glory, a glory that will continue forever. What that says to me is that if we're planning on sharing in God's glory, we also share in his suffering. The good news is there is a reward waiting for us. Number 5. Gather a team to run with you. This past summer, I have enjoyed walking. Sometimes I walk with Don and our little dog, Dexter. Other times with friends, and sometimes I walk alone. But what's interesting is I have found that I will go much further and longer if I have someone to join me. When we participate in the Christian race, we too can go further when we have someone supporting and encouraging us. That's why worship, Sunday school, and Bible studies are so important. Hebrews 10:24 tells us, "Let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as in the habit of some, but to encourage one another, all the more as you see the day approaching." When we neglect coming to church, we give up the encouragement and help from other Christians. Our faith is always strengthened when we choose to be together. And when difficulties arise, let us make an even greater effort to be faithful in our church attendance. Number 6, God is cheering us on every step of the way. Don't make the mistake in believing that God will bless us only when we're doing everything right. Don't assume that we have to be super Christian before God will have time for us. We're dead wrong if we have that attitude. No one will ever shame a baby for not being able to read or reject a 9-year-old for not being able to drive. We know what's appropriate for each stage of growth. When Don's young grandchildren draw me a picture, I always brag on them and proudly display it on our refrigerator. It may not be a Picasso, but it's perfect for their age. It is important that we realize that God is also cheering us on at every stage. Paul writes in Philippians 3:12, I don't mean to say I've already achieved all these things or I have reached perfection, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be like Christ Jesus, who saved me and want me to be. No, I am still not what I should be, but I'm focusing now all my energies on this one thing. Forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead, I strain to reach the end of that race and receive the prize, which God through Christ is calling us upward to heaven. God's goal for each of us is to know Him and to become more like Jesus. Let's be careful not to take our eyes off this goal. With single-mindedness of an athlete in training for a marathon, we may lay aside everything that pulls us away from God and forsake all distractions that hold us back to the finish line. Number 7, remember the only way to get to the prize is to finish the race. Some of you may remember that wonderful movie classic, Chariots of Fire. It was a favorite of mine and of many. It's a story of Eric Lindell, a Christian athlete. He participated in the 1924 Paris Olympics. He was born in China, the son of Christian missionaries, a devout member of the Church of Scotland who eventually wanted to return to the mission field. Over a year of training and races, Eric accepted to represent Great Britain in the Summer Olympics. During the training, Lindell accidentally misses a church prayer meeting because of his running schedule. His sister Jeannie accused him of no longer caring about God. But Eric tells her that though he intends to eventually return to the China mission, he feels divinely inspired when running, and that not to run would actually dishonor God. I believe that God made me for a purpose. He also made me fast, and when I run, I feel His pleasure. As the story goes, he was given first the opportunity to run the 100-meter race, which was what his specialty was, but he had to turn that race down because it was scheduled on a Sunday. His convictions made the headlines around the world. Unexpectedly, he was given the chance to participate in Tuesday's race, which was a 400-meter. And just before the first turn of the race, Eric was shoved off balance and he stumbled onto the grass. Yet, with intense determination, he jumped to his feet and with his arms flailing, he flew like the wind. He was determined not only to catch up with the other athletes, but to win the race, which is exactly what he did. Paul declared that he had kept the faith. He knew he had a reward waiting for him. My friends, let me encourage you today that there is a crown with your name on it waiting for you. With God's help, let us run until we cross the finish line. Let us pray. Gracious God, help us remember that we have been called to become more like Jesus. Remove the stumbling blocks in our life that keep us from successfully running this race. Make us strong through our daily prayers. Help us encourage others as they too participate in this race. Draw us now all closer to you. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Mary, for those words of encouragement. I shared this morning in chapel that I particularly enjoyed Mary's message about how much better and easier it is to do together, to run the race together. So thank you all for being here in worship today. As we begin to close our service today, we do welcome new members by confession of faith and baptism or transfer of membership. To accept Christ as your Lord and Savior or to make First Christian Church your home, please talk with one of the elders that's here today or just come forward and speak with me during this hymn. Our closing hymn today is Holy, 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 number 4 in the hymnal.
Thank you.
As always, there's a time of fellowship prepared downstairs. So please take a moment before leaving today to just stop in and enjoy a treat and a coffee. Through some good intentions of various people, there's quite a bit today. So please help yourself a lot. Now, as we prepare to leave this place and go into the world, know that it is God who loves us, Christ who strengthens us, and the Holy Spirit who empowers us for service. Go in peace and go in joy. Amen.